Hello and welcome to Bishop Ato Dixon's podcast. Bishop Ato Dixon is a true son of Bishop Dagwood Mills and the convener of Jesus is the Rock Church, a denomination under the United Denominations originating from the Lighthouse Group of Churches. Listen and be blessed as he shares with you deep messages from the Word of God.
Father, we want to thank you so much. We know that you are right here by us, Lord. We already can feel your presence and your mighty power at work. Thank you for your great visitation this morning. Thank you for the sweet fellowship of the saints. Thank you that, Lord, we join together, oh God, with a family in heaven and all the families, oh God, on earth to celebrate you, Jesus. This morning we pray that be glorified in everything that we do. Be exalted in everything that we do. In our singing, be glorified. Oh, Father, in our praise, be glorified. Be glorified even in our offering giving, be glorified. Be glorified, oh God, as we hear your word. Speak to your church. Our hearts are open, our spirits sound, and we declare that the grounds are prepared to receive the seed that will multiply. Have your way. Have your way. In Jesus' mighty name. And all said amen. Oh, put your hands together. Amen. Please be seated in the presence of the Lord. Well, this song was written by our prophet. Amen. It's a powerful worship song. You know, quite a number of the songs that have been written, I believe that you have to learn it. Every one of us have to learn it because the words carry power and the words carry weight. You know, you can live in an environment where you have been used to certain things and how things are done in a certain way. So breaking off from those things is difficult. Hallelujah. The Bible says that sing unto the Lord a new song. Amen. Is it not powerful to feel that God is in the midst of us? And the God who is in the midst of us is so mighty. You know, we give God praise. Amen. Put your hands together one more time. So get the lyrics. There are a lot of worship songs that is written. There are a lot of ministration songs that is written. And we are going to sing it in church. Is it powerful? Is it powerful? Beautiful. Well, this morning I want to welcome you to church. And I want to continue on this powerful subject. If you love the Lord. If you love the Lord. Turn to somebody and tell him, if you love the Lord, there are certain things that you will do. Amen. Beautiful. So last week, I shared that one day, a gentleman comes to Jesus and asks Jesus that, what is the greatest commandment? I mean, of all the things that have been written, of all the things that have been taught, of all the things that have been preached, which of them is the greatest commandment? Hallelujah. And Jesus said unto him in Matthew 22, verse 36, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first commandment. Hallelujah. And the greatest commandment. So the first thing you need to know is that if you say you love the Lord, all right, the most important duty as a Christian is being fulfilled. If you say you love the Lord and if you walk in love for God, then you have fulfilled the most important thing. Amen. Because Jesus told the lawyer, said, the greatest of it all is that you will love the Lord with all your heart. Hallelujah. Amen. You will love him with all your heart. You know, sometimes it's very difficult to love with all your heart because other things will creep in. True or not true? Especially your love for God. Sometimes you see that your love for other things come in. Your love for alcohol small comes in. Hallelujah. Even if it's 0.5, it is still minus. Amen. But the love the Bible is talking about, the love Jesus is talking about, is 100% love for God. If you are loving him with all your heart, it should be 100%. If you are loving him with all your soul, it should be 100%. If you are loving him with all your mind, in other words, your mind must so much be focused on him. Amen. But you know that sometimes when you are even sitting in church, your mind is wandering. Hey, your mind is wandering. You are fidgeting. You want to check what is happening on social media. You want to check who has called me. You want to check. Hallelujah. More or less, it's become like an addiction. Without looking, something is really wrong. Hallelujah. But Jesus said that thou shalt love the Lord. Yes. With all your heart. Amen. I pray that your heart will be the total place where God dwells. And I pray that your heart, you know, will focus on God first above any other thing. You know, because church, the interesting bit is that, I mean, after we are finished with our work here on earth, what else do we have to deal with? And who else are we going to deal with? I mean, some of us, our work has stolen a fair share of the love for God. Because of our work, we are not able to spend time to work for God, do something. Oh, you know, Bishop, it's not easy. Oh, Charlie, I came home very, very late. I was very, very tired. I couldn't rise up to pray. Hey, that excuse maybe I may understand. But does God understand? And sometimes that's a mistake. When your pastor understands, you're mistaken it that God understands. Oh, even pastor cried. He did it. Because sometimes it's the pressure. It's called pressure of the people. Sometimes the pressure of the people will make you say, yes! You remember Pastor Moses? Hey, the people mounted pressure on him. And they said, look, Moses, why have you brought us out of Egypt to kill us? When God has spoken to Moses to go to Pharaoh and deliver Pharaoh, deliver the people from the hands of Pharaoh. When they got to the wilderness, have you brought us to kill us? Moses, why? We were enjoying our garlic. What is garlic? Many people don't like garlic even because of the smell. Well, but it's a good, it's good. I think it's an antibiotic or something like that. And then it's also an antioxidant. But I wonder if that's the reason why they ate it for pleasure. They didn't understand all these details. You are ridding us of eating the garlic that we so loved. Why? We would have been with our Pharaoh and would have been happy. We would have been building Ramses and Pitos, but that would be okay still. Okay, we are hungry. We are hungry. Pastor Moses, we are hungry. Pastor Moses, we are hungry. Then Moses prays. Then manna comes from heaven. Hey, I mean, these guys really force God to go to the kitchen to cook. I mean, because I know that mainly you get the raw materials and then you cook it. But this one, it was prepared from the kitchen of heaven. After they had eaten,
crowns. Moses, we are thirsty. We want water. When you eat food, you must drink ice water. Hey! Then he consulted God, that, Lord, I know that you are the source. What should I do? He said that, look, can you see the rod you are holding? Strike the rock. And then water started coming. Then they started drinking. Well done, Moses. We like you. We like your leadership. You are a very powerful pastor. You see, when things are fair, that's when you begin to see the fair weather people. And they were excited. Charlie, in fact, I've never met any pastor like Pastor Moses. Hey, then they started complaining again. We are hungry. We are hungry. Then God sent sandwiches from heaven. Quails. Sandwiches. God did sandwiches. You know a quail? Quail is like a chicken. It's a bird. It said that its egg contains about 8 times the protein that chicken egg. Yeah. Quail. Well, I don't know. Somebody researched and I read. So if I'm lying, then the person is lying. Hallelujah. And God organized nice sandwich for them. When they finished eating the sandwich, they said, look, you see, Moses, you should know that after you eat, you must push the food down. Please give us water to drink. Brother, pastor, apostle, Moses. Hey, and Moses said, you people. You see, but Moses didn't consult. Moses became familiar with the old ways that God was operating. But let me tell you, God said, behold, I am God. I do a new thing. Listen, when you rise up to pray, maybe yesterday you prayed. You must know that today you must pray to know what God is saying today. Maybe what the Lord said yesterday, he has moved on today. But that is what happened to Moses. And the Bible says that Moses struck the rock again. What happened? Miracles happened. Water started flowing. But God was not pleased with him. Through the pressure of the people, Moses made a mistake. Hey. So, pastors, listen, you must obey the voice of God more than the voice of the people that you are pastoring. Because sometimes they will tell you, this is what we want to do. We want to do this. But let the voice be strong if you are a pastor. Hallelujah. Or else the people will begin to control you. And can you imagine you are driving and you don't pass? Or you are the STC driver. And you are going to Mankesi. Now, as you are going, a group has said, driver, drive 90 kilometers per hour. Another group said, no, 60 kilometers per hour. Another group said, 120 kilometers per hour. What do you think will happen to the driver? And then a group will stand up and say, listen, you can move from there. I can come and drive. At a point, you may give in to the pressure of the people. Hallelujah. Sometimes we give in to pressure of friends. We give in to pressure of colleagues at work. We give in to pressure of family members. And instead of choosing God above certain rituals, they say you are an achuete. So you are now 18 years. They must do something for you. And they take you, big boy like you. They have removed everything, including your dross. And they are bathing you in water and they are washing you with eggs. You are a tongue speaker. And you are sitting, you are looking. So, the pressure of the people can lead you to work against God's will for your life. Hallelujah. Yeah. Maybe your father is dead. They'll say, well, you have to sleep with your father for 3 days. And you are the one who will bath your father. And then you will cut his nails and put it and mix it with something and something and something. You are born again and you feel that you owe your mother and you owe your father, you owe the Ebusia Penny so much that when the love of God must prevail against ritual, Jesus said, your tradition has made the word of God of non-effect. Oh, but Jesus said that you should give to Caesar what is Caesar's. I mean, the scriptures are there. The whole pithy. You see? And you quote scriptures out of place. But today, I want you to understand that God is demanding. He said, thou shalt love. It's like a command. Thou shalt love. It's like a command. He's demanding that you walk in love totally for him. Oh, yes. I mean, I'm just wondering, having been trained by, maybe you work in an organization, you've been trained so much, you have been prepared, you've been taken abroad on seminars, you have been even sponsored to do masters and everything, and the leader's mind is that this guy, I'm projecting in the next 4 or 5 years, he is the guy who's going to take over from me so that I can go on and become a group chairman, and then he becomes the MD of the organization. And then whilst he's training you and he has done everything that he must do, you are so much equipped for the work. Then somebody comes and poach. Then you say, Charlie, I'm going to Susubribi Enterprise, International Rural Bank. Hey, after I've given you all, I expect you to be committed back with all your heart. You've just walked away. And sometimes that's what happens to us. God gives us everything. Number one, he's the one who created us. Listen, he's the one who and he created us for his pleasure. He created us for his purpose. He didn't create us for you to work in Susubribi Rural Bank. His first agenda was to bring him pleasure. That's it. And that's what you must know. You see, you must prioritize your life. You must know the priority of your life. He didn't create you even to marry or to give birth to children or to become a PhD holder on. Those are aside things. The first thing is that you will love me with all your heart. Yes. Say amen. Sometimes your beloved wants to claim the love more than even God. You are in a relationship with your beloved who does not allow you to work for God. And this is a relationship. You cannot see that it is a foretaste. You see, what you are seeing is what will happen. It's a seesaw. Do you understand? What you are seeing is what will happen. I mean, if in a relationship, he is able to control you such that you cannot work for God, I don't think that now when you wear the handcuff, you'll be able to free yourself. Yeah. Hallelujah. And so you have to love the Lord. Turn to somebody and tell him, you've got to love the Lord, eh? You must remember the priority. You must remember the priority. I would choose loving the Lord above anything. It is my choice. And I love that. I will even choose God over my wife. And I know she will choose God over me. And I don't have a problem with my wife choosing God. If she chooses God over me, I will find a place in God for her love. Yes. I will be loved better. When she loves God, I will be loved better. Those who don't love God, they don't know how to love their fellow human being. Do you remember? He said that the first is love the Lord your God. Then the second is love your neighbor. The neighbor includes your wife and your husband. Uh-huh. Amen. Is somebody receiving the word of God? Amen. Number two, we said that loving the Lord is the proper response to God's love. I mean, God first showed us love. All right? He demonstrated his love towards us. We are loving because he first loved us. He chose to love us in spite of. He chose to love us in spite of our weaknesses. How many think you have weaknesses? Hey, there are people who don't have. I can't see some hands up. How many think you have about 100 weaknesses? How many do you have about 1,000 weaknesses? Look at their hands. Yeah, over there, the choir, they don't have, and that's not the choir, this place, they don't have weakness. You don't have weaknesses, eh? Wow, you are very powerful. But you see, in spite of our weaknesses, he winked his eyes. He overlooked our weakness. Amen. And then he said, I still love you anyway. I'm still concerned about you anyway. Amen. And then the third thing I spoke about was loving the Lord is the best preparation for judgment. How many are ready for judgment? Romans chapter 5 verse 10. I want us to read it together, the whole church. Ready? Go. No, that's not the scripture I'm looking for. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We must all appear before that. Look for that scripture. Amen. The Bible says that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. So every one of us, whether we believe it, whether we like it, or we do not like it, we are all going to appear. 2 Corinthians 5:10. All right, let us read it together. Ready, go. Yeah. All means all. All means everyone seated here, including myself. You see, on the judgment day, my pastoral work would have finished. Everybody will be fighting for his survival. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So when you point hands to maybe Angel Michael, you say, oh, that's my bishop. I say, well, Angel Michael, I'm also thinking about myself. Hallelujah. Every one of us are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Every one of us. Every one of us. And then the Bible says that, and we'll be judged by the things we did in our body. Hey, that even makes it more dangerous. Yeah. Everything you are doing, you account for it. Whether it's good, whether it's bad. And normally the things we do falls within this category. What we do is either good or what we do is bad. True or not true. Uh-huh. All right. 11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God. And I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. I pray that the Lord will help you to develop a conscience that will lead you into righteousness. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. We are all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. But you know, what will grant you boldness during the day of judgment is how you are. The nature of God, or the nature of love that is within God that you bear. Hallelujah. Love will grant you boldness. In 1 John, I believe, verse number 4 to 17. 1 John 4, 17. Put it up. The Bible says, herein our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Amen. So our confidence to stand before our master, our confidence and our boldness to stand on the day of judgment would be based on his nature that you carry. And the nature of God is love. The Bible says he is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. You know, so when you have darkness, that darkness will reveal something about you. And when you stand before him, it will be plain light. So it is like a scan. When the Lord scans you, you see light here, patches of darkness. And they say, which one is this one? Which one is that one? Which one is that one? Which one is that one? Because normally when you are doing scan, when you see the black things, it draws attention. Could it be a tumor? Could it be a collection of fluid? What is it? Hallelujah. So yes, we think that, before men, nobody have seen. And that's how we normally think that, nobody has seen, so I'm free. I am free. Praise the Lord, I'm free. No longer bound, no more chains. Look, the chains, they are holding you. Except that you are deceiving yourself into saying that nobody has seen. But when you stand before God, the light will be thrown on you. And everything that is hidden shall be revealed. Hallelujah. But what will grant you boldness on that day is as he is, so you are in this world. In other words, you are a man of power. You are a man of love. You are a man of pure conscience. Yeah. As he is, so are we in this world. All right, number four. Loving the Lord is the proper response to forgiveness. Hallelujah. You know, when somebody forgives you, your response is to show appreciation by showing love. Amen. In Luke chapter 7, verse 47, the Bible says, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loved little. I mean, Mary Magdalene, this woman, she had demons. And the demons, they said they were seven. Yeah, filled with seven demons. I don't know which demons was it, but I'm sure this demon of prostitution was part of it. Demon of immorality might be also part of it. But she was filled with seven demons. Now, this woman was freed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus ministered to her and she was free. Now, one day as they gather and they are, Jesus is sharing the word of God with them, the disciples. This woman rushed into the room, takes a beautiful perfume, breaks it. She didn't even pour it. She breaks it and begins to wash the feet of Jesus. I'm sure she was washing the feet of Jesus. Said, thank you so much. Thank you for your mercy. I do not deserve it. Thank you so much. I appreciate you so much. And she was just worshiping Jesus. Then Brother Judas said, what is that? What's that? If this man was really a man of God, he would know that this lady, she's a demon-possessed girl. And she would know that around her. And sometimes that's how we speak. That's how demons speak through us. If Bishop knows the person he's dealing with, that he's making to sing in church, he doesn't know. If he knew, he would not make her sing. That's exactly how the people reacted.
said, look, this thing, we could have sold it. There are a lot of poor people all over in Israel. A lot of poor people. They need money to eat. They can't get money to eat. And you just come here and come and waste this perfume. Expensive perfume. But Jesus perceived what was going on in the mind. Hey. Jesus said, look, me, when I came, you people, even my hair cry, you didn't even pour anything on my hair. This woman has come to show appreciation for what has been done to her. And you are complaining. And the Bible says that Judas said that not because he cared for the needy, but because he was a thief. He was a jeweler. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, you see, this woman, what she's doing is in response, is in direct response to the much love that has been offered to her. It is my prayer that of all the love Jesus has shown to you, you need to appreciate him and always show love back. So that when he calls you that, do something for me in my house. Don't complain. Don't say I don't have time. Don't say I'm a busy person. Yeah, because most often than not, listen, what is Jesus doing? He's building his church. He said, I'm building my church and the gates. So there's one thing Jesus is doing for sure that we know, building his church. So if he's building his church, one of the ways to express your love is to join in to help the church of God, of course, to be built. And so that is how come you place a demand on your time. He will place a demand on many things that are so valuable to you. And he will place a demand even on your reputation. Because sometimes you'll be required to visit people at places that naturally and normally you will not go. You have to relate with people that naturally and normally you will not want to relate with. But you know, he loved those people also. And he poured out himself to those people. And he's counting on you and counting on me that we can offer a certain love to these people. Yeah. Oh, you know, Charlie, when we come to church, we keep long too much. Me, listen. Even if you spend 24 hours in church compared to how many hours in the week? How many hours we spend in a week? 24 times 5, times 7. Can do 7, 6. Do the calculation. Even if you choose to spend 24 hours, it's like giving one something of your time to God. 144 hours. And you are spending 24 hours and you are complaining. Yes. Yeah. And actually, the time you are even spending there, you are being prepared and you are being trained. It's not like you are even doing something for God, but God is teaching you his word. We say, stay on. We have various schools. We want to teach you. We want to equip you. We want you to be established. You shouldn't just be a Christian who sits in church and listens to a sermon. You need to be a disciple. And as a disciple, you need to go an extra mile, more than the normal church comer. That's who a disciple is. A disciple is someone who continues. He says, he who hears my word and continues in it, he it is my disciple. Oh, why does this church keep so long? So we keep long because we want to raise disciples for Jesus. Yes. Because I'm telling you that, look, it's like you are hungry. You are hungry. Then it's like, whilst the food was on fire, you just took one blow. And then you ate the one blow. Do you think that one blow will satisfy you? Sometimes that is where a normal service even does. It's like taking just one blow. But for you to be satisfied, you need to dish for yourself enough. Sit down and take your time and eat. And how many know that one blow takes a short time to eat? But when you dish the plate, it takes you time to eat. Takes you time. But you should see believers. What is this? Do you know why? It's because you grew up seeing church as family goes to sit in church, hear the word of God, say hello to people, and then you go for lunch. That's what you grew up. But you see, we are being guided by the word of God. And I think that the word of God should guide us first beyond what we think we've seen. Say amen to that. What we think we've seen. And so, being forgiven is an amazing act of graciousness from Almighty God. You should know that God has been gracious to us. When I look at my life, I am very sure that if I had not met Christ, I mean, my life would have gone on a certain tangent. And maybe by now I'm in asylum. Yeah, mental. It's not only be you too. It would have been as the way, even as Christ has come in Christ, the way you are very argumentative. And the way you are disobedient. Even the Christ that is in you, still we can see the abominables, a little bit of it. How many agree with what I'm saying? You are a work in progress. You are a work in progress. I am a work in progress. Listen to me. By the time Jesus is coming, we would have become so perfect that we are without spot or wrinkle. But until then, give yourself holy so that the word can wash you and make you into what Jesus wants you to become. Amen. Many films are based on this fact. People who are harmed by the events of life become revengers of evil. True or not true? I mean, if somebody does something to you, you have a way of saying how revenge. There are some people that even though you are born again, but you see, this nature is still there. I mean, revenge. Look, maybe I will do some. Look, Bishop, me, I don't forgive you. Somebody said, Jesus offered Bonnie and Joe, the Bonnie free. When I heard that, I was very, very surprised. Do you understand Boniche and Bonifree? Boniche means you are forgiven, but Bonifree means that it's postponed. Hallelujah. So we are used to revenging. Our natural state will make us revenge on every event that takes place in our lives. Yeah. So even in marriage, you see that husbands and wives revenge in one way or the other. Yeah. By the time he comes home, the food is not ready. I want to punish him a little bit for him to be hungry small. Oh, honey. Oh, something happened though. You see, you are revenging, but you are saying it nicely. It's revenging. You have packaged your revenge. And as you are saying, say, Naniyama. We all went to work. We have come home. I am the one who is supposed to come and cook. Come and eat. We should all stay. We are all here waiting for food to be ready for all of us to eat together. Hey! Women, how many are going to confess your sins? Uh-huh. There are honest women here. Yeah. You're a man. Ask you money, say there is no money. Meanwhile, there is money. There is money. You have more than enough. You have more than enough money. One day I was addressing an issue, a problem. I was counseling a couple. The lady said, he doesn't pay the children's school fees. He doesn't give money for food. And that you don't know what hates me cries that he's going to buy an iPad. And he's going to buy a new spectacles. And the man is carrying, you know, Ozzy and home. And the lady was so bitter and so angry that your children don't have food to eat. You are going to buy an iPad. Women, do you sometimes feel that way? When I ask you the first one, you didn't answer. Your sins have been forgiven you. Hallelujah. So you will notice that we are naturally people who revenge. But listen, not our God. Our God will never revenge. He says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Yes. But when he extends his love towards you, he extends it to you in spite of your shortcomings and your shortfall. Hallelujah. Number five. Loving the Lord is the evidence of God's presence. Say after me, loving the Lord. Loving the Lord is the evidence of God's presence. Wow. This is very powerful. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, the Bible says, and we have known and believed the Lord that God had to us. The love that God had towards us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. And God in him. Is it not powerful? So immediately you operate in love, you dwell in God. And God dwells in you. Amen. Listen to this. When you dwell in God, you dwell in love. Loving the Lord is a sign that God is with you. And God is in you. Loving the Lord is a sign that the anointing of the Holy Spirit is in you. When you love the Lord, the anointing of the Holy Spirit is in you. How many want to be anointed by the Holy Spirit? Yeah. Wow. Why are you a Christian? Is it not because you are seeking God? Are you not seeking to know God and to find God in your life? Is that not a reason why you are a Christian? You are trying to, you know God. You want to love him. You want to serve him. That is the reason why you are a Christian. Amen. Indeed, you are if you do not have the love of God. You have not found God if you do not have the love of God. You claim that you are seeking for and searching for God. Have you found him? If you have found God, he will be in you and with you. If you find God, he'll be in you. In fact, one of the clear signs of a good Christian is somebody who walks in love. You see love all around him. And sometimes, you can feel it. You know, you see that the person is not just acting, but it is the person's nature. He carries the nature of God walking in love. Hallelujah. God is love. If God is in you, you will have love. Turn to somebody and tell them, if God is in you, you have love. The love of God will fill you and dominate your life when you find God. Loving the Lord is the greatest proof of the presence of God. Yeah. You want to know that God is in a place? Your love for him. Your love for him. When God is with you, your love for him will be very evident. Hallelujah. Amen. And when we talk about the love for God, what do we mean by loving the Lord? There are several instances where Jesus clearly has stated your love for him. What you do to show that you love him. At one instance, he says that if you love me, obey my commandments. At another instance, he said that, Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Hallelujah. How can you feed the sheep of God when you are not involved in the work of God? How can you feed the sheep when you are not involved, when you don't have anybody that you pastor over, you as well give shepherdural care to, how can you say you are feeding somebody? Hallelujah. Amen. From today, everybody listening to me in church, you must have people that you feed. You must choose to get engaged in the church and in the house of God, that you can be able to feed somebody, not with fried rice, but with the word of God. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. Matthew 4:4. Huh? But by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Hallelujah. Every word. I believe that God is counting on you. I said, God is doing what? Say, God is counting on me. Say, God is counting on me. Say, God is counting on me. Yeah. Loving the Lord is the proof that love can be taught. Wow. Do you know that you can teach how to love? Are you aware? Are you aware that you can be taught how to love? Titus chapter 2. I'm bringing my sermon to a close, because this evening we are continuing powerfully with Reverend Nisi. We're going to have a powerful time. Amen. At 6 p.m. Titus chapter 2, verse 3 to 5. Amen. Listen to what the Bible says. The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers. So the old women amongst us, don't be false accusers. Not given to much wine. You see? Look, I've come to even see that some Christians, as they begin to grow, then they start drinking. I mean, when they've seen everything that must be seen in life, they just start drinking. It's like, oh, I'm a boy, I'm going to say. Then they just get some, a shepherd has been on it. Name passing. Wakes up when the husband even doesn't know. When the husband goes to work, then he shakes the thing like that. And then pour some. And then put it under. And then drinks it for appetite. Hallelujah. So here Paul is telling tell the older women. Tell them that they shouldn't be accusers. Eh? Not giving too much wine. Oh, Bishop. Say he didn't say too wine, say much. So you can drink small. Amen. Teach us of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober. Yes. We must have Timothy groupings in the church. It must be very often in the church where the older women gather the younger women and teach them to be sober. Some of the ladies, they are too high. They must come down from their high horses. Am I the one who said it? Yeah, older women, you have to teach the young. If you're a young person and an older person is telling you that, listen, don't be proud. Calm down. She's not trying to make you feel bad. Or she's only trying to do what the word of God says. Be sober. Introduce a brother to you and say, oh, Kai, this brother is not my size. Say, Charlie, relax. So, you never know. Then you say, look, even my husband, when I met my husband, you don't know. But I believed God and see what the Lord does. Oh, Charlie, Charlie. When you, your husband, I'm sure when you saw hope. But this one, I don't see any hope. I don't see any hope. Be sober! But it must be taught by which group of people? The older women. This church, there must be Timothy groupings going on all the time. It goes on. I mean, in Episcopal sister's office, she meets groups. It's something that goes on. It should become something that the older women should take interest. They say that, oh, we don't have anything to do in church. I have gotten something for you to do in church. If you're an older woman, you should know that this is also part of the work of God. Yeah. You gather them. See the young girls when they come around, they are dressed in a certain way, they are walking a certain way, they talk anyhow. You should be burdened as an older woman. Call them and say, Aketesia, pin her, tnefum, sit down. I also pin her, sit down. Also pin her, sit down. And gather them. And go into scriptures. And break down the scriptures to them and teach them how to be sober. Because some of us, if we were sober, the kind of blessing that will come over us, we have no idea. The horse, you see, the person who wants to come closer, you are sitting on the horse, so he's jumping. He wants to reach you. He can't reach you. You are on a high horse. But you see, the older women, the Lord is calling on you. This is also an assignment God is expecting of the older women. Amen. Look at this. And then he says, to love their husbands. Older women must teach the younger women to do what? Love their husband. You see, the older women, some of them, they don't love their husbands. So they don't even have the moral strength to teach. I shouldn't say it. Yeah. I mean, the love is finished though. You are roommates. You are waiting for the last born to finish university and get a job. And you walk out of the home. One day, I met a lady. She said, he doesn't know. But the very day that the last person leaves the house, I'm leaving with the last. And he's left. And another case too, this time, it's not the woman, it's the man. Oh, yeah. We are addressing it with strength, but I just realized that the man is gone. He's gone long ago. When the last one was in the university doing law, you know, and then he started sending messages. I'll not come early. I'll not do this thing. Oh! It was there, then it dropped. Pum, like that. I don't love you anymore. Hey. Charlie, and normally remote control solving problems is more difficult from a distance. Very difficult. So the person, as he's talking, you can't see his face and his gestures. He just said that, oh, Charlie, I've made up my mind. And that's it. I mean, we've lived enough. I think that everybody should go and find the person that he loves and then move on. Hey, God, how can you behave this way? Hallelujah. And so, listen, the older women, we can teach love. Hallelujah. Love can be taught. Love can be taught if you love the Lord. It is probably because you have learned to love him. And you can learn to love God. Do you know you can learn to love God? And that's what I'm teaching you. You can learn to love God by giving time for his work. You can learn to love God by spending time speaking to him in prayer. You can learn to love God by hearing his word, listening to his word, and doing his will. You can learn to love God by obedience. Yeah, obedience. Obedience. You can learn to love God. It is possible to love God. I said it is possible to love God. It's possible to love God. Amen. You prefer God above any other thing you can think about. Amen. We do not even know how to love our fellow human beings. However, we can embark on a project to learn how to love one another and also to learn how to love God. Listen, some of us, we grew up in homes where you found quarrel all the time. It was in a compound house. You know, somebody wakes up, then he puts a song in. It's like you are fighting with your landlord. Another one also wakes up and, Oko, Oko, Mami, Ke, Akwete, Papa, they are fighting. Then you, another place too, is like there is a wild fight. Wild fight, the woman has, you know, taken a dagger. Yeah. And so that's the environment you have been used to. And for you, it's a normal environment. A normal environment is an environment where there is fight. But when you receive Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, in the house of God, among the older women, you can be taught to walk in love. You can be taught to walk in love. You can be taught to express love. Some of us, we are so frenching that you are so hard that you can't bend. You can't bend. But today, I pray in the name of Jesus that may the Lord help you to be malleable. When you are like a clay in the hands of the potter can turn you into whatever he wants. Today, he makes you into a cup. Tomorrow, he makes you into a jar. The following day, he makes you into a bottle. The other day, he makes you into something. Just be malleable for God to mold you into what he wants to mold you into. Say amen. Over the years, I have learned how to love God. I have learned how to relate with God, whom I cannot see. And it's even more difficult when you want to love somebody you cannot see. True or not true? Yeah. Sometimes you meet somebody on Facebook. And then you start chatting. And as you keep chatting, you come and say, Bishop, I've met somebody. Where did you meet the person? On Facebook. Hey, Facebook, I worry. I beg you on Facebook. Hey. Even this person, you see Facebook there, you see the person. On Facebook. You see that you don't really have love, but maybe because you found a man you think that you would like, and you'll be committed to. You are hoping that one day when he comes, he will be the same person you saw and love the person as he is. One day, there was a girl. He found somebody on Facebook. When he found the person on Facebook, they were talking. Every time the guy was in shades, he didn't know the guy was blind. He thought the guy was a guy. And then the guy said he's coming from Italy. So the girl says, coming to meet the guy. Hey, as the guy was coming out, he was holding white cane. Like that. Then the friend said, I'm saying, who could never know? Oh, you know, white cane. You don't know everything. It's not everything you know about the person. But look at how we build our hopes around things like that. And the husband came and said, oh, Nasewe ni friendly. Charlie, and then she left with a friend. He said, Mommy, Uncle. Do you see? So you can notice that even there was no love. There was no love because there were aspects that the person didn't even know. Most of the time, as human beings, we want to know several aspects of a person before we commit and show love, which is okay. I see Jesus, he even knew our aspects and our weaknesses and still said that, I love you anyway. I love you anyway. And you know, We can learn from Jesus Christ about how he even laughs. That he doesn't love people for who they are. He loves them because he just loves them. The Bible says God still commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners. Can you imagine that you are a sinner? Somebody is coming to marry you and then you notice that, oh, the guy, he's some wild cocaine dealer, he's some wild guy, he's an armed robber attire in town. Would you not change your mind? Will you change your mind or you marry him? You knew that he goes for afternoon duties, night duties, but he didn't know that that wasn't the case. You can learn anything. Many things can be learned. Turn to somebody and tell him, many things can be learned. Spiritual things can be taught, like love. Even obedience can be learned as a subject. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Hebrews 5:8. Just as obedience can be learned, love can also be learned. Say amen to that. And normally there is a notion that some things just come to us naturally. That's the notion that, oh, you can love naturally. It must be learned. Amen. It seems as though you cannot learn how to love. When people get married, they are taught how to love one another. Amen. A man who does not actively learn how to love his wife will not be a good husband. A woman who does not actively learn how to love her husband will fail in her marriage. It is important to believe that you have to actually learn how to love. So, what I'm ending with is that love, or loving someone, or loving people can be learned. Loving people can be taught. Amen. And if in case you feel that you cannot walk in love, you can walk in love. Walking in love is a decision. It is my prayer that from today, you are going to decide that you are going to love God first. How many are going to make that decision? That I'm going to love God first. I'm going to put him first on my calendar. God will be the priority in my life. He'll be the number one in my life. When I'm thinking, you see, Isaiah chapter 26 verse 3, it says, thou will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he does what? He trusts in thee. You know, when your mind is on God, all right, I want you to know that he'll keep you in perfect peace. Normally, the people we keep our minds on, do they give us the peace we desire? They don't. Even the most perfect couple, you see that there are times that you'll be disappointed, but God would never disappoint you. Amen. You must choose to keep him in mind all the time. You must choose to make him a priority all the time. Amen. Rise to your feet and lift your hands. We want to pray that, Lord, we want to love you. Want to love you. How many feel that your love for God is so low, is so cold? I mean, God is not part of the scheme of things in your life. You take decisions before you even consider God and his work and his word. But you want to say, Lord, I want to make you the number one in everything that I do. Is it a powerful prayer topic to pray on? Can you lift your hands to God right now, wherever you are? Everybody lift your hands. Lift your hands. Speak to him. Speak to him that, Father, I want to love you. I want to love you. I want to follow you. I want to serve you. I want to love you with all my heart. Love you with all my soul. Love you with all my strength. Holy Spirit, help me. Open your mouth and begin to pray right now. Help me, Holy Spirit. Oh, yes. There are things that would contend against you loving God. But today you must choose to make God the number one in your life. We want to love you, Lord. We want to love you, Lord. We want to love you, Lord. In everything that we do, you will be the preference. May you be the first priority, Lord. Love can be taught. Love can be learned. Oh, yes. It is the appropriate response, I tell you. It's the appropriate response. We love him because he first loved us. Oh, yes. Lift your voice and pray. Somebody open your mouth and pray. The Lord is looking and watching and waiting to see whether you fulfill his word. Thou shalt love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Holy Spirit, help me. Lift your voice and pray. Oh, yes. Lift your voice and pray. Lift your voice and pray. Lift your voice and pray. Somebody open your mouth. All across the room, open your mouth. Jesus, help us to love you. Help us to love you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Revelations chapter 2. Revelations chapter 2. This morning, I want us to pray that the Lord will help us. If ever there was a first love, we should get back to it. If there have never been a first love, you are praying that the Holy Spirit stirs in your heart your love for him. Because you see, you can never pray for your first love. You can never pray for you to get to your first love when you have never loved. Yeah. It says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, write these things, say it. He that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works. Listen, and that is where it's very dangerous, you see, because you are so much busy for the Lord. You are so much busy for the Lord. It's good. It's a good thing. And thy labor, I know you are working so hard. And thy patience, oh, patience is the fruit of the Spirit. What a blessing to walk in patience. What a blessing to labor for God. What a blessing to do mighty works for God. And how thou cannot bear them which are evil. I mean, you have what it takes not to stand people who are walking in evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. You have not given up laboring for the Lord. You have not given up doing the works of God. 5. 5. All right, 4. He says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Look, people who have been laboring, people who have been working for God, people who have patience. Ha! You can't stand an evil person. He says that, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. You know, God's complaint is that there is something you have lost. And that thing that you have lost is the love that you had for him first. And so, like I said, you were born again some time back, but you can see clearly that the love with which you served him, you've lost it. You just lost it. Or you just got born again, or you are just about to, and you want to pray that, Lord, help me to love you with all my heart. He says, I have somewhat against you. You've lost your first love. And he says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. So when a person loses his first love, the Bible says that he has fallen. He has what? Fallen. I know a couple of people who fell. Number one was Lucifer. Can you imagine you being compared? When we are comparing people who are falling, you are also being compared to Lucifer, who has also fallen. Except that he his own, maybe he also lost his love for God. And then you have also lost your love for God. I pray for you in the name of Jesus that you will not be in the falling state in the name of Jesus. Oh yeah. I mean, your love for him was such that he was the priority in everything. Whatever you decided to do, you put him first. Yeah. Last all night, you remember all the prophecies that came, the people were asleep. Do you remember? They were in the house. They knew that there was an all night going on. They knew. If it's not a loss of first love, I don't know what it is. Yeah. They were fast asleep, and the Lord was still thinking about them. Yeah, as they were sleeping, God was still thinking about them. And he said, call them to come. I want to deliver them. Call them to come. You see, when a person falls from love, he's disinterested in major things like all night prayer. Oh, yeah. You don't fast anymore. You don't spend time with God anymore. You don't enjoy it. When we say prayer meetings, minus me, asleep. And it was as if it was a sin. Every one of them was in the house asleep. But when they were called, where they live, some of them is very far, but they were able to appear. It shows where your heart is. Repent. Repent. You should repent. Yeah. Something that is supposed to expose you to the supernatural, it must become a priority. And now, Bishop, why do you bring a man all the way from whose back to come and do what? Is it not because of the love? There is a gift that the church must benefit from. And we spend money and time to bring the person. And all you can do is to sleep. That's all you can do. Oh. You are lucky. Me, I would have told him that he should pay 20,000 before he says what he has to say. So you pay a price for him. God, I think people like it when they pay penalty for things. Of course, but the kingdom of God, the gift of God is free. So you cannot use it against anybody. Listen, that group of people, if you are in church today, start praying that, Lord, I have seen where I have fallen. And start praying for mercy. That, Lord, I will prioritize you in everything that I do. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. He says, remember, remember, remember from where thou hast fallen. And repent. And do the first works. So there is what we call the first works. When you have the first love, you do the first works. The first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Give me the message version of this scripture. Maybe you don't understand what it means to remove your candlestick. Do you have any idea how far you are falling? My problem is that the reason why I'm reading this is that you will tell me that I've compared you to Lucifer. Now you are reading from the Bible. A Lucifer fall. That's the kind of fall you are falling. Yes. It's called a Lucifer fall. Say after me, a Lucifer fall. Or that one too, I wrote it. But this is serious, pastors. I mean, it's like your fall can be compared to a Lucifer fall. Turn back. Turn to somebody, tell him, turn back. Recover your dear early love. No time to waste. For I am well on my way to removing your light from the golden circle. You see, the light of your life is going to be removed. One of the signs is that when your light is removed, your life is cut short and is cut off. You don't deserve to live anymore. That's what it means. Have you noticed that even you, when you don't have any use for people you have employed, you tell them that, you know something, we want to do redundancy. So we are doing packaging. You see, it's a nice way of sacking you. Look, Charlie, I think you should come and we'll do packaging for you. 3 months or 4 months salary with this, even this is, and then just get it and go away. We don't have anything for you. Can you imagine when your love has fallen and God has nothing to do with you again? You don't deserve to live. Lift your hand and say, Lord, have mercy on me. Begin to pray. Begin to pray. Pray a prayer of repentance. Pray a prayer of repentance. Pray a prayer of repentance. Father, I repent. Have mercy on me, O God. Help me to return to my first love and to do the first works. Open your mouth. Open your mouth. Open your mouth all over this place. Oh, yes. We are returning, oh God. 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 Father, we plead for your mercy. We are returning. We want to get back. We want to get back. Now place your hand on your head. Father, we thank you for this caution that you've thrown to us in your word. Lord, forgive us. Have mercy on us. Lord, there are times that we have chosen other things, preferred other things, made other things a priority above you, O God. But today, we repent, Lord. Lord, we pray that you will help us to return to the place where we first met you. Return to the love that, oh God, we developed in our early days of growing in the Lord. Father, forgive us, oh God, of lukewarmness. Your word says that if we are neither hot nor cold, you spew us out of your mouth. We pray that we will stand to be hot. We'll be hot and on fire for you. Holy Spirit, refine us fire. Rekindle and refine us once again. Help us. Help us, oh God. Help us, oh God. And have mercy on us. Lift your voice. Say, Lord, have mercy. Say, Christ, have mercy. Say, Lord, have mercy. Say, Christ, have mercy. Put your hands on your chest and say, Holy Spirit, touch my heart one more time. May I not be deceived by the deceitfulness of riches. May I not be deceived by the lust of the eyes. May I not be deceived by the pride of life. May I not be deceived by the lust of the flesh. The things that goes on around me will not deceive me anymore. Lord, I want to choose you first. I want it to be a priority in everything that I do. Now, Lord, I pray for your healing. May your healing balm strengthen your church. May your healing balm lift up your people. Whichever state we have fallen into, Father, we repent and we come before you. And we say that have mercy on us, O God. Christ, have mercy, Lord. Have mercy on us. Even the way our minds work and the way we think. From today, we are going to keep our minds on you. Loving you and serving you. Now, Lord, I lift anyone present here who is sick in the body, sick in the soul. Minister strength. Minister healing. I curse the powers of darkness, a hold of Satan, a hold of demonic forces. I break those hold in the name of Jesus. And I declare, oh God, that may they be set loose from the powers of darkness, free to serve you and to please you. In Jesus' mighty name. And all said, amen. As we close our eyes briefly, I want to give you an opportunity, church. Anytime we gather, always remember that there is one purpose and one reason. Jesus does not want you to perish and die, but he wants you to come to the saving knowledge of himself. So you were invited, you came because somebody invited you, or you came all by yourself. You want to take a decision to serve the Lord and to ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life. I want you to lift your hand wherever you are. I'm going to pray for you. Today is your day of salvation. Tomorrow might be too late. Wherever you are standing, please lift your hand. I'm going to pray for you. God bless you. I can see it. Lift it up high. Lift it up high. God bless you. God bless you. Now, if you've lifted it, walk to me right now. Just come to me. Come, come, come. Ushers, help them. Come, come to Jesus. Come, 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 come. The Lord loves you. Doesn't matter who you think you are. Oh, run to the mercy seat of God. Come. Salvation. When you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Come, come, come. Precious ones, can you lift your hands to God? Make this prayer your personal prayer. You are praying to God, and I'm helping you. Say, dear Lord Jesus, say, dear Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Savior of the world. I acknowledge that God sent you into this world to save my soul. I am a sinner. I am lost and condemned. Please forgive me of my sins and come into my heart. Come and be the Lord of my life. From this morning, I have chosen to follow Jesus, and I've chosen to serve Jesus. Please, Lord, come into my heart and be the Lord of my life. From this moment forward, I will serve you. I am grateful for your love and your mercy. Now say, Satan, I am a child of God. I am born again. I'm washed with the blood. I have the Holy Spirit in me. I will no longer serve you. I close up to your voice. I will not follow you anymore. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, I want to thank you for these precious souls. Your word says that when a soul is restored back the whole heaven rejoices. And so we on earth, the family on earth, join with the family in heaven to rejoice over these wonderful, precious souls that you shed your blood for. And we commit them into your hands, O Lord. We ask that, Lord, cause them to build a firm foundation in your word. May they be established in you. May they be rooted in you and grounded in you. In Jesus' mighty name. And all said, Amen.